Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Crystal Quest Show with John Dennis Govert and Happy Hara on HealthyLife.net, positive talk radio, where we explore crystal energy, astrology, earth mysteries, metaphysics, and spirituality. I am your co-host, Happy, and I'm here with our other co-host, John Dennis. We are living through a unique time on Earth where we are individually and collectively experiencing massive scale change. To underscore this change, on April 8, 2024, we experienced a unique total solar eclipse whose pathway crossed North America. This eclipse has been hailed as one of the top three most important eclipses of the decade. John Dennis, you're an experienced astrologer. What made this April 8th eclipse so unique?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, there's the eclipse itself. There's, I mean, the precision of a connection with Chiron. There's the fact that it's a total eclipse in the United States, and there's the fact that there were three total eclipses that happened in the last 7 years, and the pathways of that totality made X's. And, you know, one of the X's happened to be in the most recent one in San Antonio, which is exactly in the area that you were, Happy, right? So you were on the ground to actually view it. So why don't you tell us what you experienced quickly?
I at the last minute, I'd gotten like these weird tickets to go to like Enchanted Rock, which is just north of San Antonio, and it was like this massive pink granite dome, and the place was a vortex spot. And so me and some other people were up there on the top experiencing the total solar eclipse. And what was interesting about this place called Enchanted Rock was that it was like right there at the middle of the path of totality. And I must say, it was like I've never been in a total solar eclipse in the path of totality before, but like during the minutes of totality, I noticed everyone, because there's a lot of people on top of the domed rock, everyone was kind of like, I don't know how to explain it, but they were like kind of like yowling at it. And then I kind of started shaking, and I felt like all this like energy was going into my body, and I felt like I was watching the sun being reborn, and I felt like I was being reborn with it. I must say, it was an incredible mystical experience. And I completely felt different afterwards. And so now I kind of get why people, whether it's eclipse chasers and why they want to be in this, because it's energetically, it was really unusual. It's not something I've really experienced before. So I was kind of like at ground zero with it. This is, like I said earlier, like, this has been hailed as one of the most important eclipses of this decade, but this is just one of many things going on this year. I mean, we have like the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction. Well, on this trip, I also saw the Pons-Brooks comet a couple of days before I was on the path of totality. So I saw the comet that is in the skies. And then we also have the massive Pluto going into Aquarius transit, which is like ushering in a whole new, basically a whole new paradigm. So since we have this like massively interesting time period, all these interesting astrological moments, including the transit of Pluto going into Aquarius this year, we kind of wanted to kind of focus a little bit more on Pluto because, you know, that is one that's going to be in Aquarius for a long time. You know, eclipses kind of come and go. And what's interesting, Pluto itself is a very controversial planet. Pluto was discovered in 1930 by an astronomer in the Lowell Observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona. Okay, so it was originally recognized as a planet. Then it got demoted to a dwarf planet in 2006 by the International Astronomical Union. Then, I mean, literally, like just days ago, in late March of 2024, the state of Arizona passed legislature recognizing planet Pluto as its official state planet and elevating it back to the state of planet. Now, that's only the state of Arizona. It's not like the rest of the world is saying this. But I just thought, what an interesting, an unexpected thing for Pluto all of a sudden to be recognized in Arizona as a planet, you know, right here as Pluto is going into Aquarius. Well, anyway, to help us understand all these interesting astrology trends that's going on this year, we have an eminent astrologer with us and a Pluto specialist. Stephen Forrest is author of The Book of Pluto, Finding Wisdom in Darkness with Astrology. He is the author of a dozen other astrological bestsellers, including the classic The Inner Sky. Over the years, he has traveled worldwide teaching a special brand of choice-centered evolutionary astrology, which integrates free will, grounded humanistic psychology, and ancient metaphysics. In 2020, he launched an online school called the Forrest Center for Evolutionary Astrology. Stephen Forrest has been described as not only a premier astrologer, but also a wise man. Stephen, welcome to the Crystal Quest Show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, I love that. I love that billing that you're a premier astrologer and a wise man.
I love that, too.
I mean, that's like, you know you have arrived when people are describing you that way. So, anyway, Stephen, there's a lot of hype around the April 8th total solar eclipse that just crossed North America. And, you know, because I was right there at ground zero, I mean, I have to start off asking you questions about it, because I'd love to get your thoughts about what it means, what this eclipse, how you interpret this eclipse, and what are your thoughts about, like, if you're standing in a total solar eclipse in the path of totality, and you're getting all that energy, I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, a total solar eclipse is like a supercharged new moon. You know, we have a new moon, of course, every month. That really defines the month. And a new moon is a new beginning. And then you imagine adding 1,000 extra watts of energy to the idea of a new beginning. And there's a total solar eclipse. But with this one, we can add another 1,000 watts because the planet Pluto, which moves so slowly, is in the process of entering Aquarius, where it will be until 2044. So we have a gigantic new beginning in terms of Pluto being in a new sign, having been in Capricorn since 2008. Big subject, but while I'm at it, let's add another 1,000 watts to this new beginning by recognizing that we also have this conjunction of Uranus and Jupiter happening this month. So this eclipse has had a lot of extra energy mounted onto it. That's why it's so important.
Oh, okay. All right. I love the way that you're calling it 1,000 watts, because as I was on that rock, and during the moment of totality, I literally felt like I was being jolted. I even felt like my body was shaking. It was like doing this minor shaking. And I remember John Dennis telling me, he told me, he's like, now, Happy, remember, don't think any negative thoughts during the minutes of totality. And I was like, okay, you know, I won't think negative thoughts. But, I mean, I couldn't think at all. I was just being, like, jolted. Like, all thinking left. So,
I was going to say, I might add another 1,000 watts on top of it. Since this eclipse occurred in the sign Aries, the sun and moon had conjuncted in Aries, and the sign of the warrior, classically. And so it's about courage, it's about force, it's a fire sign, and so that added another layer here. I'm responding to the fact that you felt this energy shaking your body, because that's really what it was all about.
Wow, that's amazing. And you know, there was for this eclipse, I remember there was another total solar eclipse across America in 2017. But what was different between these two is I was reading that a lot more people had access on this one in 2024. So, you know, because of the cities it was going over, it was like there was more concentrated, like population centers. So this would have affected even more people. So kind of eclipses aside, let's kind of get into Pluto. And what's so important about Pluto to me is that, you know, Pluto, like you said, is now going to be in Aquarius till 2044. I know he's going to back up into Capricorn briefly again this year. So like you said, he's in the process of, you know, kind of getting into Aquarius. But, you know, just break this down for us. Like, what is the importance of Pluto, and what is the importance of this transit into Pluto for us?
Well, the action of Pluto, a lot of people are scared of it. A lot of astrologers create too much fear, in my opinion, in people around Pluto transits. It's understandable, but it's far more helpful to really grasp the evolutionary purpose of a Pluto event. What it does is it brings uncomfortable truths to the surface, wherever we're wounded, wherever we have been hurt. Now, of course, anybody who's ever been in psychotherapy, for example, and that's a pretty good metaphor for a Pluto process, they know that psychotherapy can be a rather miserable experience, but it's worth it. You know, there's the simple idea that as we face our own woundedness, we liberate ourselves from it, and it no longer has the power to control us. So a difficult process that is worth undertaking. That's really the spirit of Pluto.
Wow. And then this change from going from Capricorn, how would you describe, like, what have we been dealing with Capricorn? I mean, no, with Pluto and Capricorn for the past couple of decades. Like, what are we
doing? Yeah, one of my favorite topics. Every sign of the zodiac, Capricorn included, has a divine purpose, a positive meaning, but it also has a shadow side, a darker side. And Pluto goes through Capricorn, and we've been seeing the darker side of Capricorn. Now, here's a way of thinking about it. I'll start off sounding very positive about Capricorn, that it is the sign of traditional values. And on that list, we might think of personal integrity, personal responsibility, honesty, taking care of your children, you know, these basic virtues that we could call traditional values. But I would also say that there are some values that have a long tradition that aren't really so healthy, like the long cultural tradition of racism, the long cultural tradition of sexism, the long cultural tradition of the idea that we can infinitely exploit the earth with no consequences. These are things people have believed for a long time. And what's been happening is we've been seeing, it's like those cultural toxins have been rising into the collective consciousness. We've seen the dark side of traditional values. Hopefully, this is so we can all heal from their terrible effects.
Wow. So then, with Pluto leaving Capricorn, we're kind of leaving some of the dark shadow of Capricorn behind us now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Moving into a very, very different space, an Aquarian space, but like Capricorn, Aquarius can have a dark side. Now, the words, conservative and progressive, of course, have become very charged, and I don't want to, you know, kick that particular hornet's nest here. But, you know, Aquarius is generally seen as more oriented to the future, oriented to change, more progressive. Capricorn, more conservative. But is there a dark side to the progressive movement? And here we would recognize, for one example, just going back and looking into the mirror of history, the last time Pluto was in Capricorn, we had the French Revolution. You know, Marie Antoinette let them eat cake, and they cut off her head, and it was allegedly a progressive revolution, but it became terribly oppressive and violent and damaging. I think we will be seeing the dark side of social engineering, the dark side of generally the progressive movement, because it needs to be purged. We will save the good stuff and get rid of the bad stuff. At least that's the divine plan. Just like with Capricorn, we're trying to get rid of the dark side of traditional values, but save the good ones. And that's the divine order. That's what tries to happen. Of course, it never works out perfectly, but certain individuals do really well with it, and others, you know, wind up being very angry and trying to defend the old way of doing things, the old way of thinking. It's always a circus being human, as I'm sure you've noticed.
Yeah, you see these plants. It is like these big outer plants, and all of a sudden they change signs. And of course, the sign that they're going into is completely different than the sign that they just came from. Like, you know, I think about Capricorn versus Aquarius. It's like, wow, that's so radically different. They're so radically different from one another, because Aquarius is so expansive and freedom-loving and individualistic. And then you got Capricorn, which is an earth sign, which is very conservative. And so it's like, so no wonder we're seeing this kind of radical separation, even in our politics. You're seeing it, like, where everything is just so radically separated. So I'm kind of wondering, as we kind of get through this volatile period of Pluto, because I know he's going to go back up into Capricorn again a little bit later this year when he goes retrograde. But then by next year, doesn't he permanently stay in Aquarius?
Yes. It's going to go back. Pluto will go back into Capricorn just very, very briefly in the fall. And then as we move on into January, we'll be seeing it solidly in Aquarius, and where it will remain until 2044.
Wow, that is a long time. So I'm kind of thinking, like by the time we get to next year, and maybe all of us collectively stabilize these energies inside of our bodies, where do you think that will go from there? Like, maybe things will calm down a little bit, especially like as we get used to having this Pluto and Aquarius kind of energy with us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I can't help but hope that things will calm down a little bit. But again, looking into the mirror of history, things have never calmed down. You know, the human experience is a vigorous, complicated one. We're all on this evolutionary journey, and sometimes it creates a certain storminess. But I think the nature of the storms will change, and I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, and as I said that question, I was thinking, you know, I am an Aquarius, and I was just thinking, is there anything really calm about an Aquarius? Probably not.
Probably not. You know.
You know, because I'm the one like, oh, what a great idea, let's go to the path of totality, and I'm standing this, like, supercharged vortex and see what happens, you know? And, you know,
yes.
And meanwhile, John Dennis is probably thinking, are you insane, you know?
You incarnating as an Aquarius means you have volunteered to step into the vortex.
Yes. And, yeah, and boy, did I get jolted. I mean, I did leave there thinking, wow, I wonder what happened to me. I wonder if this was wise. I was thinking John Dennis might have been right, you know? So then I said to John Dennis later, I said, well, now you have, I said, you know my chart. I said, you know the charts of the people with me. I said, now, you know, we are like, you can turn this into astrological case study. You can watch what happens to us, you know.
Exactly. You're in ground zero.
So anyway, So, you know, one of the things I was, you know, I was like all happy when I heard that Pluto was going into Aquarius. You know, I was like, oh, wow, this is going to be really good, positive change. I mean, I was like thinking, oh, this is great, you know. Then I noticed, I think it was last year I noticed this, so all of a sudden there was all this media about artificial intelligence. And like, all of a sudden, like it was almost like impending doom kind of thing. Like, oh no, what have we done? Like, we actually made that movie, the Terminator actually happened, you know? And I all of a sudden thought, oh wow, this is where we're going with Pluto and Aquarius. It all of a sudden hit me, and I'm like, oh, this is so bad. I mean, what are your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, the scary stuff is real, but here's one positive image: Star Trek. You know, the imagery that of the human future, the positive imagery that the old show and the film Star Trek created, a more humanistic future, a future in which humans are dedicated to higher values and less materialistic values, and justice becomes more colorblind and genderblind, and all of that. Wonderful possibilities exist. And I think the key here, the way I think of astrology, is not that we use it to make predictions, but rather we use it to get some divine guidance about the kind of future we choose to create. We are not powerless. There are nightmare scenarios that we could conjure up with Pluto in Aquarius, but there are also some beautiful scenarios, and what's going to happen does not depend on the sky. It depends on humans down here listening to their hearts and heeding the higher calling of Pluto in Aquarius to create a new kind of human future.
Wow, Stephen. Okay, so that's why they're calling you a wise man. because I'm always saying this to people about astrology, too. I'm saying, you know, this is not fatalistic. This is helping you to realize you've actually got decisions to make. And, you know, here are a whole bunch of variables. But anyway, we need to take a break. We're going to end on that, like, really super wise moment. And we're going to take this break. And we will be right back with our guest, Stephen Forrest, premier astrologer and author of The Book of Pluto. We are listening to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information it'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, the positive radio network.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
GentamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly New Moon Crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit GentamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's GentamaniMatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert, myself, are here with our guest, Stephen Forrest, talking about Pluto and exploring his book of Pluto. One of the interesting things that Happy talked about in the prior segment was that the state of Arizona, you know, just adopted our state planet, which is Pluto. But what I want to add at this point is, the law was signed into effect on Good Friday. So the interesting thing about Good Friday is, Stephen, you talk about it in your book a little bit, about you were saying even Jesus went into the hell world for 3 years, or 3 days, excuse me, and then came out, and that is sort of an archetype of the path of connecting with Pluto.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. The Apostles' Creed, he descended into hell on the third day. He rose again and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. You know, the exact words. And they are totally Pluto theory. That we, if we face our own hell world, so to speak, if we deal with emotional honesty and emotional engagement with the hurt places in ourselves, and heal, it's not just simply the benefit of healing. It actually puts us in a higher energetic state. It takes a lot of energy to be a crazy person. Whenever I say that, everybody laughs, but they nod their heads. And what if we're less crazy? What do we do with that energy? Well, anything we want. It's our energy. And the metaphor of sitting on the right hand of God the Father Almighty, the language sounds a bit archaic to us nowadays, but it's a beautiful metaphor for moving into a more alive state, a more creative state, a state in which you can contribute more to your community. You're simply a better person for having done the Pluto work. It can be very exciting.
And then if where Pluto's at is where your energy is bound up more, right? Where it,
yeah,
where it's somehow, where you've like siphoned off somehow. Well, I won't say you, but like something occurred and it bound that energy and took it out of circulation.
Yeah, exactly. Where Pluto is, as you say, does represent a sort of vortex of woundedness in us. But there's another way to look at it. Pluto slowly moves around your chart and enters into interactions with other planets in your chart. And so we think, for one simple example, of Venus, you know, the goddess of love. And if Pluto moving through the sky makes some kind of contact with your Venus, then you have an opportunity to work with anything that's blocking your ability to experience love. And of course, many wounds can do that, and how wonderful it is to be able to clear them up. So every planet can represent a place where we're blocked. In fact, I think for all of us, it's, without being too negative about it, it's fair to say that every planet is somewhat blocked. That's, you know, because we're human beings, you know, works in progress, and Pluto helps us get on with the journey.
Exactly. And a lot of spiritual work, I guess you could say, being done, especially in you know, with Qigong and with different practices like that, is ways to liberate your energy and to fuse it again. But what I thought was great about your book, which is a really lovely essay from many, you know, holistically from many points of view, so that you really understand it at the end. So I appreciate that. But what your book is really strong about is like giving people the courage and sort of encouraging them to look into the face of where that darkness is, but not to get afraid, but to find another way that they can use in themselves without practicing Qigong to liberate that energy.
Absolutely. Practicing Qigong could be very helpful during a Pluto time. But I love what you're saying, because you really understand the point I was trying to make with the book, which, of course, always makes an author happy. You get your message across. And it's that astrologers will so often convey a negative or fearful interpretation of a Pluto time when a person is entering it. You know, it's like, uh-oh, here comes Pluto. And the point is, there is some truth in that, but it's not the whole truth. The whole truth is, as I've been saying, the process is a healing one, and it's worth it. And you may not like the process, but you sure will like the results. And that happier layer of interpretation, when that's missing, we're just left with a depressive view of Pluto, which is inaccurate. It's just not the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. We end, I want to, of course, draw people's attention to the fact that you've written a number of books, you have courses, you've got an apprenticeship program, and where can people find out more about your work and how they can interact with you, Stephen?
Sure, always a welcome question, naturally. Think of one word, forest astrology. Forest like a woods, except with two R's. So Forest Astrology. Now, forestastrology.com leads you to my website with lots of, you know, the books and videos, a lot of free material, forestastrology.com. And then forestastrology.center takes you to a different website, of course, and that's from my school. About 4 or 5 years ago, we started creating a four-year program, basically, you know, taking people through learning how to be professional astrologers, very much like you would take somebody through a college or a university. It's been quite successful. We're just graduating our first group. We've got, I think, 220 students now. It's a happy thing. It's working really well. It makes me feel good.
Yeah, it's great to leave that. The books are important, but it's also to have, like, successors in a sense, people who have contacted you and connected with you and all of that. And I was fortunate enough to study astrology with Goswami Kriyananda in Chicago.
Oh, lucky.
And
you.
So it was a really great thing. And then, you know, it was like, oh yeah, he was a Taurus, so he put everything into, like, this is the practical use of this. You know, and that was really, really great. The other thing about, do want to emphasize the fact that, you know, you have a book about your essays from, your past, writings and things like that. And I do want to also, as a writer, just say that I think that this book is an incredible essay. Like in traditional writing of, like, coming from the 17th and 18th century, when people wrote not just like a school essay, but wrote books that were essays that examined something from many, many sides. And at the end of it, you feel that you understand it. And it's not just like little pieces of things. You integrate it together. So I want to recommend that to everybody, because it's really an excellent piece of writing, Stephen.
Well, thank you. Thanks for saying that. That book is called The Endless Sky, and it came out a couple of years ago. It's about 20 years of writing newsletters and articles and journals and things like that. I just wanted to kind of put them all under one roof, you know, so to speak, so people could have access, easy access to that whole body of work.
Yes, that's great. Thank you. And we're going to break here again, and I want to remind everyone that they're listening to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email happy. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChintamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChintamaniMatrix.com.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
ChintamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly New Moon Crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChintamaniMatrix.com, and while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChintamaniMatrix.com.
Get high-quality glasses, sunglasses, and prescription lenses at eyeglasses.com. Choose from over 250,000 items and 400 brands. Already have frames? Get replacement lenses. It's easy. Go to our advertiser page and click eyeglasses.com.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information that'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio, with your show hosts Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert. We are here with our special guest, Stephen Forrest, author of The Book of Pluto. We've been kind of like focusing in on our conversation a little bit, and what is really good about The Book of Pluto is that one doesn't even really need to have a huge amount of background astrology to get something to get benefit from reading the Book of Pluto. What one should know is a little bit about their chart, is like what house Pluto is in and what sign. And it's by some, it's like it's as though it's a little bit more about a generation. But if you know where Pluto lands into a house, it makes Pluto a lot more personal in your chart. And so, Stephen, I wanted to talk a little bit about that with you and, you know, kind of like do a demo of how that works. So, for myself, you know, I looked at my chart and I have Pluto, I was born in that generation with Pluto and Virgo, okay? It's like the very last degree of Virgo. And so I'm kind of in a kind of little transition state right there. I never thought about that until just this second. And then look at what's being revealed as we're talking. And then I have it in the 10th house. It's just kind of like in the center of the 10th house. So what would you say about that?
Well, Pluto in the 10th house specifically, the 10th house, conventionally, it's viewed as the house of career. And that's a good word. That's effective. But I prefer to use the word mission, like when we have a sense of a calling. Now, any planet in the 10th house does two things, and this will include Pluto. It does one thing not very well and the other excellently. What it doesn't do very well is tell us what our mission is, and that's because there's a bazillion things we can do with our lives and a handful of planets, so they're impressionistic, vague. But then the thing it does really well is it tells us what we have to develop deeply in ourselves in order for the mission to come and find us, so to speak, to become worthy of it. And so this could get into deep territory, but the idea is that you have a Plutonian mission in the world, and I could talk for months about that, but just very simply, your job, your cosmic job description, a truth-sayer, you know, one who brings that which is hidden and that which might make people nervous, you know, to the surface, putting it out there where it can be seen and understood, to investigate, to probe, to delve. I'm not sure if it's fair to say you do occult work. That word is sort of going out of fashion, but it's classically a very Plutonian word. Now, in order to be successful with that, there is some basic wound in the psyche with which you were born. We can learn about it from a lot of different sources in your chart. One directly from the Pluto, and here I use reincarnational language. I talk about past lives, and I believe that in a prior life, you were probably hurt by the public, maybe by powerful people, by the government. You were a victim of something. And thus, the idea of putting yourself out there, putting your head up above the parapet, so to speak, becomes a little scary. And to face that wound is necessary in terms of you claiming the full power of your mission in the world. So that's a way of kind of pulling it all together.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you go deep. As you were talking, I was like, you know, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of government, I must say. Well, I don't know. Maybe nobody is right now.
Yeah, at this point.
Yeah, but, you know, and I've always kind of had this, like, mixed feeling, like, you know, like anytime I'm dealing anything, like, where I'm getting some notoriety or fame, I want to pull back. I constantly have this push-pull, dealing with that. So that's interesting that you noticed that. So John Dennis, where is your Pluto located?
In fourth house. So one of the interesting things is one of my spiritual teachers sat me down one day and he said, you know, We're practicing to be close to enlightenment, so we can go to our real home.
Beautiful, and that certainly fits.
Go ahead, Stephen.
Oh, okay. So Pluto in the fourth house. First, it's a very natural position for Pluto because the fourth house. Easiest way to define it for anybody is it's like straight down. It's where the sun would be at midnight, you know. And so it has the vibration of midnight, of depth, of inward things. At midnight, we're often lying down in bed. Maybe we're having a dream, descending into the unconscious. These are fourth house images. And with Pluto being the lord of the underworld, you can see it's really happy to be in the fourth house. And so right away we recognize that you're born with the natural instincts of a, say, a psychoanalyst, you know, looking deeply into the psyche. You've got great strength there. And you have been given that great strength because you're going to need it in this lifetime. Because there is a wound in the psyche. Once again, right back to straight Pluto, a wound in the psyche, presumably with its origins in a prior life, that is connected with family dynamics, classic fourth house territory, that maybe being a classic situation is being the person who is not necessarily born into a bad family, but being deeper than the rest of the family, and thus not feeling understood, and often viewed as a kind of a frightening or negative character within the family. Now, I'd be rather confident of that interpretation in terms of a prior life of yours. It wouldn't surprise me if there were some echoes of that in the present life. It's so difficult to say to somebody, you need psychotherapy, without it sounding like an insult. I do not intend it that way. But in order to fully claim your kind of shamanic psychoanalytic power, there is the healing of an old family wound that's the necessary precursor to that empowerment.
Well, oddly enough, the connection where you've got the title being a wise man, my family used to call me the wise guy.
Well, that fits perfectly. You've obviously healed from the trauma.
But I don't think they said wise guy completely as a compliment, did they?
No, it sounds like not.
No, it was like, okay, wise guy.
Wow. So Stephen, I know we don't have a lot of time left, and you know we could talk to you forever. And I know you have a lot more books, so I mean we would love to have you back on the show. I know you have don't you have a book about just the moon?
Yeah, the book of the moon, the book of Neptune. I've also written. I really cover just about everything in astrology. And my recently I did a 4-book series of called what's the element series? The book of fire, the book of earth, air and water, and that really goes very deeply into all of the basic symbols of astrology.
Wow. Well, I mean, and I love alchemy, and so I know I saw that series on your website, and I thought, oh, this looks interesting. I feel like I need to get some of those books, because we'd love to have you back on the show, and, you know, especially when there's, you know, a more other interesting transits that are going on. We know which astrologer to go to, since you've written a book on every single one. So, anyway, can you remind listeners where they can contact you?
Yeah, well, once again, forestastrology.com or forestastrology.center. Either one connects you with my work or even to me personally.
All right. And then I would love to end our interview with, like, you had some comment that you'd love to tell everyone about, you know, what is a positive way to embrace Pluto going into Aquarius?
It's about claiming your right to be who you really are. That's the essence of Aquarius, the process of separating out our soul's path from everything that has pressured us to be this, that, or the other thing based on society or family training. Will the real happy, kindly step forward? You know, there's the spirit of Aquarius. And then with Pluto, we think of anything that might stand between us and that kind of authenticity. And it's time to wrestle with it. It's time to ferret it out. It's time to claim your right to be yourself.
Wow, that's powerful. All right, thank you very much. Thank you very much, Stephen, for being with us today. Thank you for your wisdom. We will take another break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the featured crystal of the month. You are listening to Crystal Quest on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio.
John Dennis Govert, yogi, guru, and ordained Tibetan Lama, has been doing traditional astrology readings for over 40 years. He can help you manifest your own happiness and navigate the timing of the best periods for pursuing the opportunities available to you throughout the year. You can make informed choices. Get the support you need with your own astrology reading from John Dennis. Visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com. Go to the services page. Email John Dennis directly to schedule your appointment. That's at ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
More exhilarating talk. HealthyLife.net.
ChinTamaniMatrix.com is your source for all the up-to-date things happening with crystals, crystal intention coaching, free guided videos on meditation programming and clearing crystals, and even a monthly new moon crystal blog to help you clarify and manifest intentions in the right way and at the right time. So visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com. And while you're there, sign up for the mailing list so you can receive monthly crystal intention updates. That's ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
Expanding your mind. HealthyLife.net.
You've never read a crystal book like this one. Chintamani Crystal Matrix is Happy Hara and John Dennis Govert's new book, and it is filled with so much information that'll rock your crystal world. Discover how to intentionally use gemstones. Find out all about your own wish-fulfilling gem that can bring you your deepest desire directly into this world. But that's just the start. Get your copy of Chintamani Crystal Matrix at innertraditions.com or at amazon.com, or order it from fine bookstores everywhere. ChintamaniCrystalMatrix.com.
Uplifting talk. HealthyLife.net.
Okay, I know that you have heard about astrology, but what about using crystals and astrology together? Well, that exists. It's astrogemology, and you're in luck because Happy Hara does just that. Happy presents you with crystals, stones, and gems that align with your unique zones and planets in your natal astrology chart. But it's even better than that. She teaches you how to use them to empower your life. Set up your appointment today. Visit ChinTamaniMatrix.com, go to the services page, and just email Happy. That's at ChinTamaniMatrix.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to the Crystal Quest Show on HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. And we are going to discuss the crystal of the month. And it's connected to the 18th degree of Taurus, and so anywhere in anyone's chart where that is, this is the mineral we're going to talk about is exactly what's there and good for you. Of course, Taurus has to do with stability, earth, material life, but also the wonderful things of life, beauty, harmony, art, music, gardening, and a number of other things. But today, we have a kind of an unusual crystal called anthophyllite. And I'm going to turn it over to Happy to discuss exactly what that is.
I'm holding it in my hand right now, and it is a magnesium iron inosilicate hydroxide, just to get the kind of like the crystal nerd part out of the way. So, but the top mineral that it contains is magnesium and then iron. All right. And I always like to know what minerals have in them because that kind of tells me immediately something practical. And magnesium, what a great mineral for us to work with right now because we're dealing with all of these sort of outrageous planetary transits. And magnesium is very soothing, calming nervous system, can help us sleep. And of course, iron is all about strength and nourishing the blood. And so I think this is an exciting mineral to have right now. The word exciting is not right. This is a calming mineral for us to have right now. And so this particular mineral is also found in another mineral called pneumite, which is a very rare metamorphic rock. And these minerals tend to come more from northern regions like Greenland, Norway. So they're kind of rare. But at first when you look at it, it's not very exciting. It looks kind of black and dense. And then sometimes you can see these little kind of color fibers in them. And what I love about it is because for this particular show is that it looks very black and dense, like it's very old and ancient and deep, but there's these flashes of light. So to me, it's very plutonic. And we've been talking all about Pluto. I kind of looked on the internet just to see what everyone else was saying about it, and there was a common theme. It was useful for promoting spiritual growth, facilitating self-discovery, and increasing self-awareness. That sounds like Pluto to me. It's good for introspection and releasing self-imposed restraints, more Pluto qualities. It also helps us to navigate safely between different spiritual worlds, and it's a guide to other worldly journeys, okay? It can also help cleanse one's aura and environment. So I saw a theme where one can kind of work with their shadow, and the rock is very kind of dense and black, but you kind of go in the shadow and put a flashlight in there so you can figure out what is it that I can't see? What is the work that I need to do? I mean, it's of course not going to be easy work, but you put a flashlight on it, and you know, the first step to healing is just becoming aware that you need to be healed. And the current astrological transits are very much talking about this. This whole past eclipse was conjuncting Chiron, and Chiron has to do with healing a core wound. And Pluto work is also about that. So this is an ideal crystal. It's not exciting to look at first, but it helps strengthen one and helps calm the nervous system down so we can get past the irrational fears that we really need to do.
Well, thank you very much. That's a very important crystal to help us with at this time, and especially, as you said, with the Pluto. So I want to thank everyone for listening to our show and our special guest, Stephen Forrest, and remind you that you are listening to HealthyLife.net, Positive Talk Radio. Thank you for listening.